Hey, what up, boxing fans? I'm not sure if you heard that actually. Hold on, let me just run it back real quick again, just in case.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you. No, and for those who don't know who that is, you better dig in those crates, dude. I know they don't call it the crates anymore, but you might as well start digging. Eric B. Rockem. It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you, okay? I shouldn't have, but I did. No, I'm back. I am back. First show of 2025, and we're gonna talk about 2024. The last show I did very well. I'd like to thank you for that. One of the biggest shows of the year. I think it was like top five, fourth or fifth. It had legs, so I let it run a little bit. And then I got into an area where, there was no recap from that Japanese weekend, because Puma had to pull out and pause. And, it just kind of days went by, life got in the way. And I thought, you know what? This is such a weird start to the year. Don't get me wrong. The first couple of months tend to be just pretty good. We've been spoiled in recent years with January, February, March popping off. And we kind of got spoiled last January, if I remember correctly. I think the last two Januaries. Usually they target the last month in January, or last month in January. I said that. The last weekend in January, which you can tell. Now it's like what would be like February 1st, because that's the break between the conference finals, the NFL, and the Super Bowl. So usually you get one, a good one. You'd have Friday night fights and stuff like that. But usually, not long ago, literally like 10, 12, 13 years ago, it would start out real slow. And then it would pick back up, and then the second quarter, third quarter, it would start going really heavy. But the first couple of weeks, are light. It does pick up, like I said, and then February is great, actually, if you look at, somewhat recent Februaries, or like I said, the last 20, 25 years of Februaries, we got a great fights. And some of it has to do with the main events. A lot of it has to do with the undercards as well. So yeah, we'll definitely talk about the first quarter, kind of preview, what's going on, what's on paper, and then of course, some current fight news and all that stuff. But today's episode is the great, the good, the bad, and the ugly 2024 boxing year in review. And it's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you, right? So I'm not gonna go too in depth because we are literally, 13 days, I can't believe it, into January. So yeah, there was like, I don't know. It was just I kind of put this episode off for a little bit, and I figured I'd jump on and just get back in the swing of it. I did get some messages saying, "Tell me the show's not over." No, the show is not over. Okay. It's the longest running strictly boxing podcast in the sport of boxing. There is one, Mr. Fernandez, I believe his last name is, does a combat sports show that's been going much longer than mine. But the longest reigning boxing podcast in the sport ain't going anywhere. So don't you worry about it. And to the haters, two different outlets, platforms? No, I don't know. Two different podcasts tried to steal the name. They basically copied each other's name. I have gotten some in the last maybe year. Every couple months, someone sends me, a rope-a-dope or whatever, the other shows. And the reason why I have the radio part in there, because it was live radio. Usually podcasts, you're recording, you put them out, right? But this is before any kind of Twitter space or anything like that. It was live radio. And Blog Talk was one of the best, if not the best, site to do it on. So that's why it's Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. So I understand the confusion. I understand that, people think people stole names or whatever, but to be honest with you, to be fair, Muhammad Ali came up with the name. Let's be honest. So we're all just living off him, right? So yeah, that's that. The show ain't going anywhere. You gotta take me out. You gotta take me out, Okay. I'm gonna go until I can't breathe anymore. That's what we're gonna do. And that sounds kind of depressing, but I swear it's not. I swear it's not. So yeah, of course, upset of the year, prospect of the year, which I always get shit for because I have a different view of prospects. We'll go over that. I'm sure I'll get the messages. Round of the year, KO event, fighter, that type of thing. And like I said, we do have a little fight news as well that I'll talk about. Obataya did his thing. It was a good fight though. While it lasted, it was a pretty fun fight. And then, like I said, we'll talk about the first chunk of the year. We'll talk a little bit about Teofimo Lopez, this freaking guy, man. We'll talk about another pullout, Sam Goodman, Garcia and Haney. Have they arrived at a deal, or is that just bullshit? I don't know. I really don't know. Anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com. Oh, you know what? Hold on. In the coming weeks, it will have a different home. But to be honest with you, people do download it from Blog Talk, and I really appreciate it. But mostly it's on other, especially Apple Podcasts, but mostly it's on other places. Google Podcast, Player FM, download the podcast app, Apple Podcast, that type of thing. But it will be soon, very soon on Spotify. Okay. So things had to run out. Blog Talk is going to cease to exist. And so I am going to have a new home. Nothing crazy though. You'll still be able to find it. In fact, if you like Spotify, you'll be able to, listen to it on there. So it's not a huge deal. But just a heads up for the people that do go to Blog Talk at Rope-A-Dope and download the show there. While you're at it, head on over to thegruelingtruth.com, Eastside Boxing, and Phil Boxing. One more thing from DirecTV Stream. Huddle up and watch a weekend and just the next couple of weeks, right? College football, NFL playoffs on DirecTV Stream. You can save up to $74.99. Stream football playoffs like a pro. They're still on it, and when it'll just go. So it says limited time. I'm telling you, it'll just leave. This is a good deal. You better get on it. $86.98 for the first 2 months when you sign up for the entertainment package and you add the DirecTV Sports Pack. They do have that free trial if you want to go to the choice package, which includes FanDuel, because a lot of people had issues with Bally Sports. That's $94.99 a month for the first 3 months. And you can go all the way to the Ultimate, which it features over 160 channels, $109.99 per month. Okay. All right. Let's see, Kellyanne Smith Simpson. I just said Kellyanne Simpson, not Kellyanne Smith. Did his thing against Woodall. I think it's what, Steve Woodall or something like that, if I remember correctly. He handled this business really, really easy. Second round. Big, I believe it was a right hand. Let me check my notes. Yeah. So there ain't much there. Dubois, the little sister, seemed to be handling business. She did, I think it was a body shot that dropped Jessica Kamara. But then there was a cut, and so it was one of those things where, it was a cut, they stopped it, so it's a weird, majority draw thing. So, the other fight I think that is very worth watching while it lasted anyway, and it's quick, was that Hickey Howells. Howells pulled the upset, just body shots galore. And he had the corner say no mas, and yeah, so that's that was that happened. Okay, that happened over the weekend. Like I said, Opataya was in a fun fight with Naika. It was like a right hook or right cross that knocked him down. It was a fun fight, though. What was that, the sixth round, I believe? I know that was almost a week ago now, I suppose, because it was last Wednesday. But that was a fun fight. That was a fun little fight. Dude had a prospect career. We'd heard a bunch of sparring stories. And, I wouldn't, completely rule out his career like, oh, he's hot garbage or whatever. He just got beat, But pretty early in that fight, it turned into exactly that. It turned into a pretty good little fight. So that is worth watching for those who've, kind of whatever, kind of haven't been in the flow. Like I said, it is kind of a weird start to the year. So I understand folks that are a little like, ew, you know what I mean? But it will tighten up. It will definitely tighten up. And so 2024. Right. Overall, like a pretty good year, right? It wasn't, hot garbage or anything like that. Did I already use that word twice? So it was kind of like a hurry up and wait. Like it had its great moments, and then it was like, then it had its great moments, then it was like, you know what I mean? So it was kind of an up and down year. Obviously, as far as stateside, the PBC not doing monthly shows definitely hurt, not just stateside, the boxing world in general. That did hurt. And that could have filled in a lot of the gap. Them in the former Showtime, in 2023, like they had it. They were the network of the year, right? And the promoter of the year. Obviously, the Saudis have done, Turkey has done a lot of damage this year, and I guess to close last year, technically. So it's been a little bit over a year. It's got a great card coming up in February. So yeah, it was, I don't know. It had its moments for sure. I mean, where it had a string of just great fights and upsets and all that stuff. And there were plenty of upsets, but it just, I think it had a lot to do with the last couple years, and especially last year. Last year was just a phenomenal year. And so it was hard to beat that. And so if you don't do that, then it's a failure. And I don't think it was like a major step back. Boxing does have its, it does kind of take two steps back, step forward, like a giant step forward, step back, that type of thing. So yeah, it was kind of like you're on a movie set and it's hurry up and wait. Like I said, there's some great fights and all that. But yeah, as an overall year, it was a disappointment. Another year full of fighters, but especially promoters, talking, and I think the media has something to do with this too, because at some point we have to not have negotiations hit social media and all that. Now, obviously, you can't control if a fighter or manager or whatever, right, a promoter are talking shit on Twitter or whatever, right? But overall, like, I have noticed, even though, like, I guess you could say what people call the legacy media now, I wouldn't, some of them have legacy, some of them whatever. Some of them were very biased, you know. So let's not, I want to say, let's not act like the meat, it's so much better now because, you know, we have more outlets and platforms to do the media because it's actually gotten even worse. My point is, although you can point fingers at the quote unquote YouTube media, right? Not all of them. Shit, I remember when Dan Raphael, me and many other people, when the boxing YouTube community was popping off, we were sending our videos to him and say, hey, what do you think about this? And it's some dude talking on the, you know, he really downplayed YouTube and a lot of media members did. And now they're all doing YouTube shows, you know? So that's kind of funny to watch. But, you know, there are a lot of stupid questions asked. And not just stupid, but just not a lot of context, a lot of clickbait. You know, and clickbait, even before YouTubers were even allowed to get a pass, a press pass, this already existed, right? Clickbait and all that. It's just now there's social media that it's just gone that route, and Twitter has gone that route now so much that I think sometimes the YouTube boxing media can actually get a worse rap than it really should. There's plenty of criticism, you know. But if the media had been doing their jobs properly, maybe you wouldn't have a variety of boxing fans get into the media and be like, what the fuck are they talking about? This is bullshit. So you can see the bias over the top, the ignorance, the racism, whatever, however you want to look at it. It was all there. And not to say that's gone, you know, with the YouTubers either, right? There's been plenty of, you know, race stuff going on between white and black channels. Not as much now, but years ago. So my point is, there's just so many like empty questions that are asked and not followed up on. And sometimes you'll have a YouTuber like Fight Hub that they'll follow up when they're talking to Espinoza or someone, but then they won't follow up when it's Eddie Hearn or Oscar. You know what I mean? They kind of play dumb. And it's not like when I say stuff about the media, it doesn't mean, oh, I can do their job better than every one of them and none of them have any talent or anything like that. It's not a talent thing necessarily. It's not, you know, I'm not a good writer. I write preview and prediction articles. I was asked to do it a while ago, so I've just done it. It does help the podcast because you get to put your link in there. But I'll never like act like I'm some in-depth. I've actually written some in-depth articles that are pretty good, but overall, I'm not a great writer or even a very good writer. I'll just be honest with you. You know what I mean? So it's not like the talent isn't there with plenty of them. It's just what they choose to do with that talent. And now with Saudi here, this shit, I mean, some of the stuff they've said on, and I bought the Saudi stuff. You know, I have had the zone since it, I could possibly have it in the US. So I have ESPN Plus, I have Amazon, you know. Like, it is what it is. Like, I'm just saying, like, the things that they're saying on those Saudi cards, like, you know, Turkey's made more fights in 1 year than the last 10 years, and just crazy over the top shit that's just like, dude, what? And some of these people, you know, what they had to do to get, they had to kiss the ring. Many people that are in media had to kiss the ring and had to be a cheerleader for something. And that's just the bottom line, or to hold your position, whatever. Not everyone, though. I've had multiple media members on here. But as far as the independent media and all that, like, it is going to be tough. It was hard to say Ring was a independent media. Now it's even tougher, but there are some quality writers on there too. Boxing scene has gone downhill. I mean, there's just no way around it. There's no way around it. It's become way more, even more clickbait than it had been in some punchlines and stuff. But now they ask like silly questions like, well, whatever. I don't want to go too long on it. But my point is, I really wish we could get good follow-up questions and questions in general. And I think it's a big issue in boxing today, and it has been. And every press conference or every interview I see, I'm just like, dude, follow up, and it just rarely happens. And sometimes it just comes down to access. Some people don't get a lot of access, so when they get it, they don't want to burn a bridge, which I can understand. As long as you're not running out there running with this stupid narrative or something like that, that's different, but yeah, to keep asking a fighter, like, what do you think of this fight? What do you think of that? But who's gonna win that fight? Who's gonna win that fight? And that's all you fucking do for the, it's old, And then people will start shit, like a couple, was it a, like a month ago or whatever, when they try to get Tank to say shit about Inoue. Well, you know what he said about you. That he said, she said, dude. It just gets old. So that's something that I have to like rant about every once in a while. But overall, though, it still wasn't some kind of garbage year. Like I said, the PBC not being as active as they normally were did put a dent in it. I think you did see, they didn't do many events. Most of them were really good, but they didn't do nearly enough. So that's the key there. And we'll see, if they hit their stride this year. So yeah, the great, the good, the bad, the ugly. I just said it. Network, DAZN, promoter. I would have to say Turkey slash Queensberry, because if you remember, Queensberry, like Eddie had to be on Queensberry's cards in Saudi's cards first. Now he can run his own. So I would have to say DAZN, of course, is the network of the year. So that's two out of the last 3 years if you're keeping track. And then either Queensberry slash, Turkey, Saudi Arabia. That's who I'd say for the best, network of the year, platform, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And then promoter. And I know people will say, oh, Matchroom, Matchroom. I don't know, dude. Like, I'm not saying Matchroom didn't have, anything to do with those Saudi cards, because of course they did. Of course they did. But it was Queensberry first, and Queensberry allowed other stuff to happen as well with Saudi. So, but first and foremost, it's Saudi Arabia, Turkey running the ship there. So, prospect of the year, I did see, I think it was Brunch Boxing. Shouts out to Brunch Boxing, keep doing their thing. You want to talk about an independent media that's looking to get the story right, that if they have opinions, it's well thought out. And it can change. See, that's another thing too. Like, if more information comes in, at times evidence, well, that can make you change your mind, And so they have really good debates amongst them, amongst the host and the people they bring on. And it can be very serious topics. It can be, well-rounded. It can be funny. They give each other shit. So Brunch Boxing once again, really the had the best year, I would say, out of any boxing podcast. And they can be cut every Saturday. I can't always get up that early because I usually am up really late on Fridays. A combination of work and pleasure, and it's hard for me to get to listen to their whole show, so I usually just listen back to it. But you can get it anywhere. It's not just on the Twitter space. But if you want to join in, support it. If you want like independent media, legit media, that's one of the few. There's not that many out there. There are the boxing source. There are plenty. There are some. I'm not saying they're not, but it seems to be dwindling. I do want to say that. So we got the network, the promo, oh, the prospect. Okay, so and I remember them with Tenshin. I think their prospect was Tenshin Nasukama, Kama, I think it is. I've seen a lot of Moses Itoma. I've seen Abdul Mason. I've seen Iglesias. Was it o Osley Osla Osley's Iglesias? I've seen the Hernandez kid, the Yonelli. I see Joel, Broadway Joel, the voice of the Dominican boxers, Jan Santana, shouts out to him. And there's others. Denier Pero. I've seen Moten, you know. I wouldn't give him prospect of the year because he missed weight by that much. But mine is in, you know, I get it. Here's my thing, okay? If you're just knocking dudes out, right? You're just knocking boxers out, right? I keep saying dudes here and there. You know, I'm not trying to leave out the women here, but I just need it to, like, you can be a prospect and turn into a contender, and that's my prospect of the year. Now, if you begin the year as a prospect, you end as a champion, well, that's just what happened, you know? And so I think there's a strong case for Brian Norman Jr. And I know I'm going to get shit on this. I get shit on this every year. But I just think when you're prospect of the year, I don't see why it's that strange to give someone that at the beginning of the year was at least close to a prospect. I can understand why people had him in the contender rage already, and that's fair. That's fair. I just think it's better to go with these type of picks than than not facing anyone and knocking them out. Like, and I'm not, and you know, plenty of everyone gets moved as a prospect at different levels and different paces. And so I'm not ripped. Someone's 6-0 and 5 knockouts, 6-0, 6 knockouts. That's cool. If you know, were able to knock someone out, highlight real fashion, that's cool. You know, and I get it. That's usually the prospect of the year, but I don't do it that way. I don't do it that way. And in my opinion, if you look at who he had beaten at the beginning of two, or I should say at the end of his last fight was Quentin Randle, Campos. Like, he was a pro at the beginning of 2024, Brian Norman Jr. was a prospect, in my opinion. And I thought for a prospect, he got by far the best win. Now, that Boca Chica fight, obviously, you know, the cuts messed that up, but that was pro box. But his win over Giovanni, I just think that's enough for me. You know, that's enough. So Brian Norman Jr. is my prospect of the year because that's just how I do it. In my opinion, he wasn't a. Now I understand welterweight is light in the ass now. I get it. And I understand how, like, I'm sure there were some rankings out there that had him ninth or something, you know, in the top 10. But to me, he was still a prospect because who had he beat to put him in full-on contender range is my point. He wasn't full-on contender range until he did that. You know, that's my opinion. That's okay if you don't like it. And it was for an interim belt, so I get it. I do get that. But that's how I see it. That's how I see it. You may not see it that way, and that's fine with me. But that's just how I do it. So I got Brian Norman Jr., who, you know, let's hope that he can land a big fight. And let's hope the financials don't, like, you know, poke a hole in it. Because we all know the boots thing, and that's a debate. Like, should he have just taken the 1.7 or whatever it was? Sure, that's very fair, ex considering how much he makes on his minimum, and considering who his next fight was after that, and how many fights it would take, you know, to get back to that. Now, could have Eddie Hearn just went to 2 million? He's money bags, right? Gucci bag and all that. We all remember that about 5 years ago. Yeah, he could have, and just gotten Boots a big fight. So, I still think though that Norman Jr. could have taken that fight. I don't see for that kind of money. Upset of the year. You do have Kyron Davis over Elijah Garcia. You have Angelo Leo over Lopez. That was pretty shocking. You had Murtuzaliyev Bakram over Tim Tzu. That was a thrashing, dude. That was a thrashing. You had that Dakota Linger beating Scobie. That was another one. And there's more out there, obviously, especially odds wise. But Bruno, I think Bruno beating Munguia via knockout after, you know, he was on the freaking mat, dude. Let's not forget about that. He was on the mat. Like, that's the upset of the year for me. Su Ross is the upset of the year. It's up there for knockout of the year, that's for sure. So yeah, that I would probably have to say that does it for me. I also think that you know, I do think that I think odds wise it was the biggest one, but there are way more than what I thought. I think it does have to be against a high level opponent for me. Like when someone gets beaten, they're 4-0. I'm sure the odds are crazy, right? And usually I don't pick the upset of the year like this, where it's exactly like this, like the highest odds as an underdog, because I do like it to mean something. You know, beating Elijah Garcia, Tim Tzu, Lopez, Munguia, those are that's you know, that's legit upsets. So that is the upset of the year. And knockout of the year, I just mentioned Leo. That could be in there. Su Ross could be in there. No doubt about that. Bahati could be in there. AJ against Inoue. Or not Inoue. Ngannou. Tank knocking out Martin. Obviously, you could Daniel Dubois knocking out AJ in the fifth. You know, so I mean, there's plenty more than that too, obviously. But for me, there was that Stram Hernandez knockout. But for me, it was Zhang and Wilder. For me, it was Zhang and Wilder because The way he caught him just like Deontay would catch someone. Like light him up and kind of freeze him, and then dude's off balance and he just runs up on him and puts a light out. Like, that body or body, body, that one was nasty because old boy was out. And sometimes like Munguia and technically like, AJ kind of got like some of these guys. It's not like out cold, you know what I mean? But I also think there's levels as well. So to me, I just think I know Wilder's not in his prime anymore. You could definitely say Zhang isn't either, but I'd say just from sheer nastiness and timing and just like, oh, gotcha. Oh shit, you're froze. Bam, you're done. You know, and the fight's over. So to me, that was the knockout of the year. AJ going face first. I could see it. AJ's knockout too. Tank. Like I mentioned, a bunch of them. So yeah, now round of the year, I mentioned Dubois AJ, the fifth round. Bam Estrada, I think that was the sixth round. Check my note. Yeah, it was the sixth round. That was pretty crazy. You know, I did hear like Dubois AJ the fifth. Did I say that one? I did hear a lot of like the ninth round for Usyk and Fury, but I don't know, man. I think that was a little one-sided to be the round of the year. You have Ford Klimatov, the 12th round. That was nasty for me though. And there, like I said, there's more than this, obviously. But Ortiz Boichuk, the 8th round. To me, that took it for round of the year, personally. The event of the year. Now, this is the one that when I see Ring Magazine, you know, Ring Magazine's always kind of been biased a little bit, right? The Mikey Garcia thing, how they didn't wait to see what was up, and not just Mikey Garcia thing, but, you know, the 1-3 matchup that they forced instead of, you know, they hopped. They had the number one fighter take it on number three, and that number two, the number three fight, Anthony Crolla, was just a better paycheck for Linares. That's all it was. So it's not that they couldn't get the fight done or someone's hurt or they're ducking them or whatever. And one against three, I'm not a big fan of ever, but I do think you can make the case for it at times. I do think that's fair and go one against three to create lineal, but it's rare, and that was not one of those cases. I think it was just a, or having Broner, like I think he got up to fifth in the pound for pound at the time. And he wasn't the fifth boxer, fifth best boxer. ESPN's ratings are can be really whack too for pound and whatnot. So I just found like when you basically the Ring Magazine for the most part, they're it was basically like everything Saudi did almost, you know. When they didn't met well, you know, they didn't mention Garcia Haney. The Fury Usyk is an event because of what it was. The 5-for-5 I thought was a really good event. You know, if you're just looking at event and traction and, you know, pay-per-view numbers or viewership or the live gate, because that these are events, right? Tank's fight did a big number. Canelo's both fights did a big number. I would favor Munguia over Berlanga. But honestly, as much as I didn't like it, the event of the year is Tyson Paul. Like I'm not, I don't love saying that as a boxing fan, but if you look at the viewership and then you look at the gate, and I've talked to people since then that have barely watched boxing, dude, you know? And they're like, yeah, I checked it out. I really loved that fight on the undercard, you know, the ones that could see it, obviously. Well, the whole undercard was kind of choppy, obviously. But they definitely got that shit out because, as far as like the messed up app, because they did a lot better job for the NFL. But yeah, you know, as much as I hate to say it, because I don't like this fight per se. I did like the undercard fights, and so that was cool. But yeah, dude, Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, dude, that was the event of the year, man. You really can't deny it. We're just talking about events. We're not talking about what was the most meaningful event, right? Because you'd have to put in Viterbi of Bivol then. I didn't see one person say that for an event of the year. Fury Usyk, very meaningful, right? Garcia Haney drew a lot of attention. But like I said, Canelo, Tank. But the bottom line is, that Saudi card in LA. But the bottom line is the event of the year, and in some ways unfortunate because it was basically like an exhibition, right? So that does suck. But it was Netflix, and I can't give Netflix the fucking network of the year for one fight or for one event. But fortunately, it was Tyson Paul. And I didn't see that really much anywhere. But that's just telling the truth. You know, you guys know, if you listen to the show, I did not like that matchup just in general, but I understood why it was happening. And it happened. And look at the viewership. Look at the goddamn tickets. Like, what was it? 18 mil? 19 mil at the gate? That's not easy to get to. So, yeah, that is that. Trainer of the year, you got Garcia, you got Don Charles, you got, you know, Loma's father, you know, was somebody that should have gotten it a while back. Just because I'm going with Bob Santos, I think he's done a really good job, and sometimes you just don't get it at the time when you should get it or whatever. So that's what I'm going there. Charles, that was cool, you know, for him. To have a good year like that, and there's others, obviously. But that's what I'm gonna go with. So fighter of the year for the women, you have Taylor, you have Serrano, you have some other Shields and whatnot, but Fundora, at her age, to do what she did, how she did it, because I think that her knockout was the knockout of the year on the women's side too. Fundora. She's got that. Taylor Serrano, I thought, was the fight of the year again. You could make an argument for other fights though. But Usyk, Beterbiev, and Bam are definitely like, those are the three that I would say, those are like the top three this year. Usyk, Rodriguez, and Beterbiev. And I would have to go Usyk. I would have to go Usyk on that one. Comeback fighter of the year, it could be Leo, it could be Dubois, it could be Joseph Parker. There are some other ones out there. But I'm gonna go Leo. Angelo Leo. I know Dubois got some good ass wins, obviously, but I don't know. AJ's not like, I think that Leo was right there on the cusp of being like a legit fighter. Like he was I shouldn't say it like that, but he was very close. You know, he had climbed the ladder and then got knocked down, right, by a quality ass fighter. And he worked his way back up. And he beat Lopez, who's been doing his thing lately. So that's where I got there on the comeback fighter of the year. Fight of the year. I already said that for the women, the Taylor Serrano. For me, that was, I had Serrano winning, but whatever. That's also why, one of the reasons I can't give Katie Taylor the win for the year, you know, fighter of the year, plus Fundora got it. So fight of the year, you have Ortiz, Bolachuk, Usyk, Fury won. Ford, Klimatov, Orly Clark, Dubois, AJ was obviously a blast. Bam Estrada, you had Taraji Gonzalez or whatever his name is. You had Pero Matias. You had Plant McCombie. That was a good, really good fight. you had, I thought, Beterbiev Bivol. Ford Ball was a damn good fight. Zepeda Farmer was a really good fight. That Rakhmov Nunez was a really good fight. I saw the other day Too Slick named that one, and then Nantashiga Curel too. That was a damn good fight. Damn good fight. Like, that could have been the fighting year. One of the fights of the year, no doubt about it. That Worley Clark, man, that was really, really close to being there. Ford's both fights, really. I don't know, man. This one's tough. I literally hadn't decided yet all the way. I think I'm gonna go with Ortiz Bolachuk. Something like that. Something like that. Oh, Cooper, someone messaged me. Cooper Assim? Yeah, I saw that fight. That was a good fight. That was a good fight. So yeah, like, you know, there are, like, the first quarter is gonna pop. It just feels weird because it's gonna take a while. You know, it is gonna take a while to get there. So that's this funky part where you're like, all right, dude, I'm pumped. Oh, another one, Ryan Mayer. Yeah, that was another one that I was, someone messaged me that earlier. And as we know, Sam Goodman is out of the Inoue fight. The replacement, not so good. Not so good. Obviously, you have the rematch between Beterbiev and Bivol. That's a good, like, I'm really looking forward to that. And Dmitry Bivol, like, he needs to fight every single round. And I would say when you're having a good round, keep it up. And then when you're feeling like you're doing good, like, it's easy for me to say. Obviously, he was hurt from the punches. So the last three rounds, he kind of gave away the fight to an extent. I would say not to an extent. I think he did. But I'm looking forward to that fight. Like, a lot. Benavidez Morel, obviously. Really looking forward to that fight. Pacheco and Nelson coming up here soon. Excuse me. I'm definitely looking forward to that fight. That should be a good one. Is there, let me look at that Oh yeah, Mercado and Pedraza. I think Mercado's gonna do his thing, and I had him as prospect of the year last year, I believe. Oops. Sorry, I had to get some agua there. I do really like that. I think that's a really good fight. On, you know, Benavidez Morel, like, the Figueroa Fulton fight, sign me the fuck up for that. I think that Isak Cruz and Angel Fierro, I think that's a little bit of a sleeper. to be honest with you. There's some good fights on the that just got announced as well on the prelims for just normal, normal Amazon on the prelims. Oh yeah, and then Keyshawn Davis against Deniz Berenschik. I like that fight. That's a really good step up fight, and he stepped up last time and handled his business like majorly. So I'm really looking forward to that fight. I think that's a damn good fight. Abdul Mason's on the undercard. Deontay Johnson's on the undercard. I heard those two aren't going to be on the main card though. The Xander Zayas against I think it's Spalmer or something like that. Spalmer. I know Jared Anderson's on that card. Polanco and then Vito against Coyle, Connor Coyle. That's right. Barboza and Catterall. I think it's an interesting fight. I don't know how fun it'll be even to watch per se, but I think it has some interest in there, I would have to say. I think there's definitely some interest there. For me anyway, I think it's a good skill fight. I do want to see Dubois and Parker. I think that's interesting because Parker's not going to be facing these faded guys, so let's see if that same style he's fought in and the strategy that he's used works against Dubois. Ortiz Madrimov, I mean, sign me the fuck up for that fight. I love that fight. Speaking of, I love the fight. Zhang and Cabiel. I barely like Cabiel in that fight, but I fucking love that fight. Adames Shiraz gets a step-up fight. That's pretty cool. The Hernandez Giron, that's a good fight. I think Roach is gonna do a little bit better than people think against Gervonta. I'm not going to sit here and talk up that fight like it's an awesome fight. Based off some of the undercard stuff, I want to see where they go. Not all of it has been announced, obviously. But yeah, I mean, there are some fights, man, in literally within the next like 2 months, less than 2 months, yeah, about 2 months, that are great. Like really, really great. You just got to be patient for this a little bit. And it'll come back around. It will come back around. Trust me. I did get a bunch of messages saying, is boxing going to be back at the Armory? I believe so. I don't, just based off dates they've had before, I guess that to be honest with you. I don't know if that contract, if they're just going to be like, all right, let's go right back to the contract. But that contract called for four fights a year. So I don't know, though, right now if that is still there. I'm just being honest because I've asked around. It's been kind of hush hush. Keeping track of the easiest way to do it is if they get it scheduled, right? Then you at least know. But the fact is, they had two different events, and especially one in December, scheduled, and then it fell off. So, well, when I say scheduled, they had it booked, let's say. So, take it for what it is. We heard Matias and Teofimo Lopez, that's obviously long gone. Teo's been on one lately. He has been just on one. I think that's like the best way to say it. It's like, and well, he first of all, he said some racist ass shit. Let's not forget about that. But yeah, I don't know. His thing was like, I remember him saying something like, well, he's not worthy of the lineal champion, so I didn't turn him down or whatever, And now we did hear about the IBF creating a, basically an eliminator to become a mandatory of Hitchens, Richardson Hitchens, and that would be Elvis Rodriguez and Matias. But there was a little funkiness around that too. We're still waiting to see if Ennis and Stanonius can get done, get it over the line. And I haven't heard much in the way of like. And by the way, Ring Magazine, from my understanding, were late on this story, and it should have been Matt at Brunch Boxing. That's Charlie Parsons from Ring Magazine on that boots thing. And by the way, we don't get a lot of detail. We get a lot of detail from Eddie, but then there's certain times you want more detail, So it's like we heard that the offers coming from Stanonius were better than what they were offering. So what's up with that then? Get the fucking fight done and stop talking about it, in the public. I don't think that's much to ask. So Teofimo Lopez down here. Like I said, he's been on one. I'm too expensive for Top Rank. But the truth is, Todd DeBuff is the issue here. He hasn't liked me or my father since I started the takeover established in 2018. Like that's 1918 or something. And probably beforehand. Now he's the chairman of Top Rank, so people do the math. By law, I have a freedom of speech. This motherfucker believes he knows the Constitution and shit, dude. He legit thinks he knows the con. The Top Rank ESPN contract deal ends July 26, 2025, and for contractual reasons, cannot overlap another network deal until then. If so, it becomes a conflict of interest, which can be binded there, which can bind their current contract. They need Teofimo to get a more lucrative network deal, don't you know? Not oh, here's another one, dude. Not one, I mean not one, no one fighter, boxer has, which is okay. Has brought more to the table and interest than Teofimo Lopez since the days of Mayweather and Canelo. That's just so stupid. But when, first of all, Canelo's still up in this bitch. So don't know if you know that. Bruce Trampler added, Teo is truly a big name, one of my personal faves, and that's why his fight should be well, it should do well on pay-per-view. So yeah, I mean, he's saying a lot. By the way, the Bronx Bomber sounds like he's going to be back in April on BOK Prime, which I will not give my credit card to. Love me some Wilder. Don't really want to see him fight anymore, per se, but it won't be the first time. Won't be the last time, right? That type of shit. There was rumors of Devin Haney going there too, but now it doesn't sound like that's the point. Or that's going to happen. Teofimo Lopez, I wonder if Top Rank is hitting their minimum benchmarks with their ESPN deal. Out of the 89 million, I wonder if an audit would help ESPN. No wonder why ESPN wants to leave Top Rank and DeBuff. Oh boy. Oh boy. I did hear or see. It's been out for a while, so it's been. I don't know who got it first. I don't know if it was Pugmire or what, but Oscar Duarte and Regis Progress planned for February 15th in Anaheim. Interesting. Interesting. Now, Stephen Shaw, I forgot to mention this. I see this in my message. Stephen Shaw, so the ring, the BOK Prime pay-per-view. would be Wilder, and then he said Shaw, but then Shaw didn't know much about it. So I don't know if that's someone put that out there to try to, get there or what, but I don't know. Here's boxing forecast. David Nayaka is 6'6", looks like a specimen, has strong amateur background, but I think Opataya makes him look like a big stiff and takes him out brutally inside 6 rounds. Well, he got that right. He got that right. I think I already mentioned this. Kermell Moten will be on that Benavidez Morel card. I believe so, if I remember correctly. Ben Baby, didn't he used to work for ESPN in some form? Maybe he still does. But he said the sport is in such despair because too many boxers hate boxing. Oh boy. So that's it. That's it, huh? That's the only. Okay. So this is Keith Idick, who, speaking of being on one, has been on one. The lesson, this one's more of a positive on one to an extent, though. The lesson from Opataya Nayaka for the most talented, strongest young fighters who enjoy su success sometimes in sparring is that once you lace them up, the 10 ounces, take off the headgear and those bright lights shine on you, there's level to this. Yeah, that is the thing. He did look the part, though, I will say that. Eddie Hearn, also Idick, said that he spoke to Oscar De La Hoya, and they want to do the Zerto in Opataya. Maybe it could be part of a 5 for 5 in May or a different card in late spring, early summer. That'd be a good fight. I kind of like it because they're both at the same weight class too. And Keith Idick also said Teofimo Lopez turned down Top Rank's final offer, way above his contracted minimum, according to what I was told. Before a deadline late last night, and this is a while ago now, for the WBO 140 title fight versus Matias. Lopez and Matias would have fought on ESPN main event pay-per-view March 15th. So in some ways, I'm glad that didn't happen. He said, I would like to see who Teofimo eventually agrees to fight before he fully forms his opinion on that. Which I think is pretty legit. That's a good way to look at stuff. Yeah, I think that's pretty good. Jim Karras would like to see Opataya go undisputed at cruiserweight before jumping up to heavyweight. Zerto and Badu Jack are holding other titles. Shouldn't be too difficult to make those fights. That's true. I mean, Badu Jack at this point would be just the title, but I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Now, Eddie Hearn said, according to Chris Mannix, or not according to him, it was on a show. He said the Top Rank's offer to Boots for Teofimo was less money than Ennis earned against Karen. Now, he did say, or right around that. But it's like, okay, well, maybe he's getting overpaid to fight Karen. And Karen's going to complain because that's what Karens do. But have you ever met, and this is a question, this is a question to white people, actually. Have you ever met and talked to an actual Karen? Because I know Karens attack, minorities more, especially black men and black people, but. As a white person out there, have you ever really come across? Is your mom a Karen? Is your girlfriend a Karen? Is your wife a Karen? Is your side chick a Karen? No, that probably wouldn't work. Anyway, I don't know. I got lost there. You know what? I'm not even gonna. Someone sent me this from Teo. I'm not even gonna do it. Okay, so I saw this Golden Boy. I saw someone post this shit, right? This Golden Boy video is a throwback. It says Mayweather versus Guerrero. Floyd struggles with ghost boxing ability. That's where we're at, folks. Because I remember if there's one fight There's a couple that were tough over his career, several, whatever. But that was one of them, dude. That Guerrero fight, man, he didn't know what to do with him, bro. They should get another rematch for that. Gritty from the Underground shouts out to Detroit. So Teo don't want no smoke with Brian Norman Jr., Kenny Sims, Mirtaya Rodriguez, Davis, and Matias. None of the offers were any good. The turn down, hashtag the turn down kid. And they brought in Haney on that too. And hopefully it just gets solved, this Haney stuff and him, and they actually get a fight, but then we're hearing the other way, and I don't know. I have heard people say Beterbiev's, going to want to go up to fight Opetaia if he gets the win again. I like that fight better than Usyk having to drop 25 pounds to go back to cruiserweight. And not only that, but if Beterbiev did win, then he could be like, hey, bring your ass down now. I don't know. Here's another one from Brunch Boxing. Talking about that, the ESPN's not done with Top Rank per se, in that contrary to the media reports, sources tell Brunch Boxing that ESPN's hoping to sign a multi-year extension with Top Rank, but it just, it's up to Top Rank, so financial stuff comes into play, obviously. A key sticky point is negotiations, the annual budget. Sides are eight figures apart. ESPN is looking for Top Rank to deliver better fights and bigger events for the budget they are given. Top Rank has been linked to various streaming services, including DAZN, Amazon Prime, and all that good stuff. Al Dawson broke a little news on Ryo and Russell that fight is going to happen in Minneapolis. Now, that'd be great, by the way, but I haven't heard that, so don't quote me on that. But I really like that fight. I really like that fight. G Funky, a huge problem in U.S. boxing is fighters demanding a fortune and they can't sell tickets or pay-per-views. That is true, but we know what start. We don't need to know the chicken or the egg. What came first? We know the promoters and the managers and the platforms put out that money. And we know since DAZN came in, they went crazy with it. Now Saudi's going even crazier with it. So that does that. That does. Now, according to Lo Bonita del Boxeo on IG, it looks like there might be a rematch of the upset of the year. Sue Ross. It sounds like a Navy SEAL thing. Sue Ross. Sorry. And Munguia, April 12th, Tijuana. Interesting. Here's something. I don't know if it's true, but Cesar Seda, Elvis Rodriguez will not go forward with Sobral Matias fight because he believes Matias doesn't deserve it. Top Rank is looking to make the Rodriguez El Yomar. Oh, okay. Huh. Is that true? I wonder if that's true. Alamo fight. Huh. Man. Oh, boy. All right. I did see a double A from SN Boxing said he spoke to Chris Glover on Pro Box, a Pro Box. He said two trends of Pro Box in 2025 are they will still be doing cards around the country with only a couple back in the Plant City. Also, they will be moving to weekend fights instead of Wednesdays. And I'm kind of like torn on that, although I understand why they don't want to go on a Wednesday because financial, the finances, that does. It is tough to sell a card on Wednesday night, especially if you go into that same venue. But like from a spoiled point of view, like a boxer, I do love that midweek stuff. But I get it. I do get that part. Someone sent me this about Bradley from a boxing scene article. Don't go running away right from the fight now. Talking about the Crawford fight. And this quote, when the hell was the last time Canelo knocked somebody out? That's fair, but once again, dog, I don't know. Like, it's just, I don't know. The way he says, I think it's sometimes what he says, sometimes it's how he says it. This was just a quote, but I can almost hear him saying it. And it's like, all right, well, do you really want to talk about knockouts, dude? Because you weren't the knockout king. So Martin and De Los Santos are in negotiations for a fight. Whether that's on the Spence Fundora, I couldn't tell you. Because the Fundora Spence thing, March 29th, and they said, no, that's not true. And Spence even said, that's not my date or the location. That type of thing. So, whatever. By the way, I also saw this on Brunch Boxing. The IBF grants Lomachenko a medical exemption. So, I believe that they ordered an interim, there we go, interim lightweight title between Mirtaya and Abdulev. I do obviously. Oh, here we go. Not my date or location. That's what Spence says. So it's just the date. It's the fight's on though. Here's one that I did not know prior is Jamel Herring. He was arrested on Thursday for an alleged misdemeanor domestic violence and assault, right? I guess the next court date is coming up here kind of soon, the 21st. But he was basically booked in the Warren County Jail in Ohio. The bail set and all that stuff. But what I didn't know, what I had not, I did not know that, and I'm reading off a tweet of Brunch Boxing, pictures provided by Jen from the alleged incident depicting scratch marks on her neck. When police questioned Jamel Herring about the photographs, he claimed they were from a separate incident. December 2023, an incident in which he was also arrested for domestic violence, according to TMZ. Pictures were provided by Jen from the alleged incident. So yeah, I did not know last year, a little over a year ago, 2023, December, that he got arrested for that. Wow. We'll wait and see, but obviously that's pretty fucked up. Here's a perfect example of just a worthless tweet, but people doing it for this is Fight Hub TV. Could this be one of the biggest fights of the year? Berlanga and Rosado. I mean, really, dude. Are we? Really, dude? Seriously? Like, come on, dog. What are we doing here? That's no. Then every like couple times a year, people send me, what do I think of this boxing wreck? The pound for pound list, right? And it has Inoue, Alvarez, Davis, Crawford, Poturbia, Nakatani, Bivol, Benavidez, Shakur, and Ennis. Ennis shouldn't be there. Usyk's 13. Dude, the shit is a, on average, when you just look at the rankings, on average, the box rec shit, the ranking shit sucks, dude. So I wouldn't even mess with it, to be honest with you. Rolled Boxing says, I think there's a case, and I'd make it, that Usyk was the fighter of the year, won the fight of the year, and was in the round of the year. The round of the year, I just disagree. Here's Lukey Boxing Sunday conversation. This is actually at the end of last year. If Usyk isn't a top five heavyweight of all time, who is and why? I just don't think the wins he has makes him top five. The Fury win is phenomenal. The AJ win is very solid. Dubois, very solid wins. I just wouldn't put him in the top five. I just wouldn't do it. I gotta be honest with you. I just wouldn't do it. I just would not do it. Go through my messages a little bit more here. We do have, I think that's, let's see. Yeah, something else here. Oh, the new boxing Saudi league with TKO. Yeah, we'll see. Whether they're going the prospect route or whatever, we'll see. We'll see what's going on with that. I've talked about that a little bit. Oh, here. So Turkey, these are the fights Turkey wants to see. Alvarez Crawford, which we have heard reportedly is done for September. By Miss Conte or Mrs. I'm not sure. But yeah, I don't know if that's true or not. Usyk Dubois 2, Fury Joshua. By the way, Tyson Fury said he retired. It is what it is. Ryan Garcia Haney and then Eubank Jr. and Ben. That shit is getting so old, dude. Like, those are okay fights. I wish it would be Canelo Benavidez, but the Crawford one, if done right, and advertised, well, shit, it'll be September, possibly. Advertised, for through football and whatnot. I think it would have a chance to do something. I think it would have a chance to do something. William Zapata and Tevin Farmer are in talks for a rematch, according to Tevin Farmer. I don't see a problem with that, actually. Gervonta said, tell him to send the bag and I'm coming. He said 150. Sounds like he's doing his Canelo impression, which should be obviously silly. 150 up front to do that. Nah, I do not think so. I think that's about it. Oh yeah, Shakur says he's gonna take over the sport of boxing. One fight at a time, sir. Okay, so literally every 10 days I get something with that from that fake Michael Benson account. Dude. Oh, dude. Oh, man. This is our society now. They don't understand this is bullshit. This is a fake account. Because you can just buy the check mark. Because remember, the check mark, if you buy the check mark, it was supposed to, you could show that you were you. I'm me. I'm him, right? It's me. Look, I got a blue check. But that's not what it's about. It never was about that, obviously. And we all know that misinformation, disinformation, and just outright lies have been fucked up on this app for a while now. But they said Devin Haney is reportedly in the hospital after being assaulted. Like, this is not, this isn't true, dude. It's not a real account. Okay? It's fake. Hey, I mean, the other one was bullshit anyway. But. Okay, someone dug up a tweet from 2019 from Herring. Calm that down, Chief. I don't promote or agree with anything related to domestic violence. Don't tie my name to that shit or come over here with it. Well, I guess we're gonna have to see about that. Oh yeah, here's Teofimo Lopez, not just boxing and IG. I didn't turn no damn fight down. We always fight the best, but we don't believe Matias is worthy opponent for the ring title. Do you think a guy with that has no fan base that lost in his home country deserves that type of? Oh, Jesus Christ. Because you have such a huge fan base. Ryan Garcia, that was the big sticking point, I guess. Garcia's like, I'll do the fight, but it can't have Vada. But if I sign up for it, then, I'll do drug testing. But, oh, okay. So Julius Julianis says that Canelo Crawford is actually in Vegas, September. That was what that was. So there's a rumor going around it's going to be William Skull and then Matt. If he fights Skull next time, it's like, dog, what are we doing? Two-time undisputed. It's going to be a two-time undisputed because he lost one of his belts and now it's back to being a. Oh boy. Oh boy. Okay, so I guess Turkey sent Devin Haney and Garcia an offer to fight in April or May to do. It says 365, 24/7 draw. It can't be 365 if the shit's in April or May. But that was the rumor that, they're waiting on it. They're waiting on him. So if you do that, Cynthia Conte, a very reliable source, told me that Devin Haney has officially dropped his lawsuit against Garcia if he agrees to VADA. Garcia has agreed to do VADA and the rematch is on. That's what has been said. I don't know if that's going to be a factor or not. Okay? I don't know that to be true. Now, that Dennis McCann's, he was all that the dude who tested positive for drugs lately, that Dr. Usman. Just follow him and you'll know what I mean. Follow the boxers that are with him. Lohanashaw came up with a great tweet. Tyson Fury has announced his retirement from boxing. I'm going to give it 3 to 5 business days. Yeah, no shit. That's so well said. Two-time undisputed, bro. All right, I'm out of here, man. I think I'm gonna get out of here. Hope everybody's been doing all right. The show's not done. I do appreciate those who reached out and asked me if I'm doing okay. I did have kind of a rough last chunk of the year. Multiple deaths kind of close to me or very close to me, one of them. So yeah, man, it is what it is, but honestly, there's so much hardship and so much stuff going on that in California, just in general life, that I'm not on some woe is me, but I do appreciate the sentiment, and yeah, not going anywhere. Like I said, you're gonna have to come up to me and like slit my throat or something. You think I'm gonna be done with this podcast? Okay, like I said, the last one I did was just popping, and so I didn't want to cut its legs off. I didn't have recap from the New Year's, and it was just kind of a dead moment. So I just kind of let it ride for a little bit, and I figure I'd come back and kind of just pop up on you guys. All right. So I had to do my pop out like Kendrick. All right. I'll shut up. Anyway, we'll be back on a weekly basis. Okay. We ain't going anywhere. But yeah, have a fun week and weekend. Enjoy your life. Enjoy any fights that will pop off. If something's from overseas or something I don't know about, send me a video per usual. I'll watch it. I'll talk about it. Anyway, I'm gonna get out. Peace.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
UTIs are the worst. I've been there. One year, I had 8 UTIs. If you get UTIs, then you understand how awful the cycle can be. I was taking all the precautions, and cranberry products, they just never worked for me. I was desperate for a way to be proactive. It was hard on me and on my husband.
It was tough to see her in pain, and I wanted to help.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Spencer.
With Spencer's background in biochemistry,
and our shared frustration when it came to UTIs, we were inspired to start Eucora.
At Eucora, we make innovative urinary tract supplements and UTI relief products. Our effective urinary tract supplements finally give you a way to be proactive.
Feel like you've tried everything? We get it. We have a money-back guarantee so you can try risk-free. If you're not happy, you'll get a full refund.
We're on a mission to help women get their lives back. Ready to join them?
Get 30% off Eucora when you go to eucora.com/audio. That's UQORA.com/audio.